So, Audra McDonald, you're kind of a hard person to introduce because you've done so much, you know, lots of different things that we could say about you. If I were to ask you just how would you like to be introduced, but what would you say?
I don't know. I don't think anybody's ever asked me that question before. I'm a performer and a mom and a citizen of the world. How about that?
A citizen of the world. That's nice. Yeah. I like that. So you're coming to Toledo this weekend.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, Saturday night, November 4th at 8 o'clock p.m., singing with the Toledo Symphony. Have you ever been here in this part of the country before?
I have been to Ohio. I don't think I've ever been to Toledo.
Oh, okay.
I certainly have never sung with the symphony, so I'm very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, everybody here is looking forward to it as well. What are we going to hear on this concert on Saturday?
I have kind of a wide and ranging sort of repertoire, and I, you know, sort of tailor it based on where I am and what instruments I have at my disposal. And since we have this incredible symphony that we're going to be singing with, we'll be doing some Gershwin and Harold Arlen, some Sondheim, Leonard Bernstein, a lot of stuff from the, you know, Great American Musical Theater songbook.
Sounds like a great program. And you have your own music director coming along for this, right?
Yes, my music director, Andy Einhorn. He's very, very busy. It's hard to get him these days. He's conducting Bette Midler in Hello Dolly right now. But Andy and I have been together for a very long time. So he gets the day off to come and conduct for me.
Yeah, you have a definite...
I have to borrow him back from Bette.
a comfort level there, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So now the next day you're giving a talk at the University of Toledo, which is a great opportunity for folks to come see you. I should mention it's free of charge. Show up half an hour before and come hear you talk about your career and your life. What is on the agenda for your talk?
Context of my life and my career and and where I am now and what I think my role is. In the community of, you know, performing arts as well as socially what one feels one's role is and how I got to where I am, I guess, basically just sort of my history.
Let's talk a little bit about how you got to where you are. You were born in Berlin. Your dad was in the army at the time, right? You were raised in California. Looking back now, can you tell us how and when your musical talent began to express itself? Did you grow up in a musical household?
I did. I grew up in a very musical household. My dad started out, after he left the army, he went back to Fresno, California, where I was raised, and he became a music teacher in a high school. His mother was a piano teacher. My mother's mother was a piano teacher, and she had her master's degree in music, and then all of my dad's sisters sang, and my mother was a thing as well. So there was a lot of music in our house. Basically, if you didn't have some musical talent, you know, people wondered, are you really part of our family? I was known at an early age that I was very dramatic and had a lot of sort of hyperactivity and all that. And I sang in our church choir. And so my parents knew that I could sing. And, they found a dinner theater in Fresno, California, and they said, you know, they've got a little program for younger performers there called the Junior Company. Why don't you audition for that and let's channel some of that energy? And I did, and I stayed with them, that group, until I graduated from high school. And after I graduated from high school, I went to Juilliard.
Yeah. You were studying classical voice at Juilliard, right?
Yes, I was. Yes. I at the time, I wanted to be on Broadway, but I felt like I needed to go to Juilliard because I was accepted to the program. And it was a struggle my time there because I didn't really want to be singing classical music. And I didn't really want to give over to my classical sound. I wanted to, you know, be a big old musical theater Broadway star. And I thought, you know, really leaning into my classical sound would hamper that. But what I learned is I was actually very much on my path, and that leaning into my classical sound would help me discover my true sound, you know?
Well, yeah, I would say that's definitely one of your strengths. I have a little confession to make. I used to study voice with Arthur Levy myself.
Oh, my goodness, back you have the same voice teacher. That's amazing.
In the late 1990s. Not only that, but I took a few lessons after you, and I would hang out in the hall and listen to you.
Oh my goodness. So, what a way to bury the lead. That's right there.
Yeah. Down on West 43rd Street. Yeah.
Yes. Right. Wow. I still study with Arthur. He's fantastic.
Yeah, wonderful. But knowing what I know about Arthur and the technique and the way that he teaches, you know, it all makes sense for me, the way that you approach the American Songbook and the kind of depth that you give it and the kind of connectedness that you have throughout your voice, that really is a hallmark of your individual sound. Do you feel like there's any kind of difference for you moving into the Broadway repertoire? Do you ever have to kind of fiddle around with what you do vocally, or do you try to keep it all in the same place?
I keep it all in the same place, and that's an absolute testament to Arthur Levy and his training, because for him, I know you can attest to this, he's about healthy singing, and then whatever you do with it is what you do with it, but that your mechanism, your vocal mechanism is your vocal mechanism, and he's looking to find the most optimal and the healthiest way to produce that sound. So because of that technique, there's a freedom. I find he's given me a freedom, and I'm not trying to sound like anybody else. You know what I mean? I'm just learning, and luxuriating is absolutely the wrong word, but learning to be very comfortable within my own sound, and then, you know, applying that to whatever style that I'm singing. But first and foremost is making sure that I'm singing with my sort of optimal, healthy sound.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That makes absolute sense. I think the word luxuriating can apply to the people who are listening to you, perhaps. Luxuriating.
No singer actually ever luxuriates in their own sound.
Yeah.
They're either not cringing or cringing, but I don't think they're luxuriating.
You know, we do a podcast here with the Toledo Symphony, and we are actually doing a sort of a tie-in with your concert where we're talking about the voice and what makes the voice great, you know, which is a completely ambiguous question, open-ended question. But I'm just curious, if somebody were to ask you, you know, what makes a voice great? What makes a singer great? What qualities do you look for in other singers if you put yourself in the position of a listener?
You know, it's, I'm thinking about some of the people who I think are some of the greatest singers ever. And, you know, they span all sorts of genres. And I think what connects me to all of them is that I feel instantly that this is who they are. Do you know what I mean? That their sound is unique. They sound like nobody else. It's instantly recognizable, and it's connected. It's connected to some sort of emotional truth.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about those singers right now. I mean, if I were to rattle off like four right now off the top of my head, one would be Judy Garland. Mm-hmm. Another would be Mireille Laffrani. Another one would be Martin Sexton. And another one would be Ella Fitzgerald. I mean, those are, they all are absolutely unique. You know exactly who's singing the minute you hear them. And they're very connected to their musical souls, you know, and they're not necessarily perfect technicians. Some of them are, some of them aren't, but it's more about what they communicate and what when they're singing.
Yeah, yeah, an eclectic group of singers there, but they're all unified by that, what you point out. I think you definitely fall into that category as well.
Well, thank you.
I know you have a little baby girl there at home. She just had a birthday, right?
Yeah, she just turned one.
But she's a little too young to go trick-or-treating, I expect.
We're going to try.
Yeah?
We've got our little costume, and we're going to try. We'll just sort of, you know, roll her around in the stroller in her costume.
Well, the best part is you
and
get to keep all the candy. Yeah.
Yeah, well, she's got older siblings. You know, they'll certainly luxuriate in her candy, that's for sure.
What's your favorite Halloween candy? Let me guess. I'm going to guess peanut butter cup.
Okay.
Peanut butter cup?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's something you and I have in common. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You feel like you're not being as bad. I mean, because there's the ratio to chocolate and peanut butter, you know, you feel like, well, peanut butter's protein. You know.
That's right. You can justify pretty much anything.
Absolutely.
I know that you have a busy schedule. I just want to thank you for taking the time to check in with us. And we look forward to having you here this weekend.
Well, thank you so much. It's so nice to talk to you. And I love that we have the Arthur Levy connection.
Yeah.
That's what's fantastic.
And peanut butter cups. Don't forget those.
And peanut butter cups. Yeah. Equally as important.
All right. We'll see you soon. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.